Wait a minute. Well, there we go. All right. I hope you had enough, sweets and sugar and coffee and things there to keep you going here for just a little while yet this afternoon, as we're not quite done. But I believe that the Lord would have us to continue on, pressing on, as it were, as we heard Wednesday night or so. All right, well, if you would, open your Bibles. We're going right back to the Gospel of Mark, if you would. The Gospel of Mark, and turning over to chapter number 4. Now, we're continuing on today, obviously, in our study of this Gospel record, though it seems like it's been a while since we've been in here. How long has it been? Well, December 18th, but you realize that was only 3 weeks ago. That was only 3 weeks ago. It seems like forever. But it was only 3 weeks. A lot's happened since then, I can assure you. And so in our text, through these first several couple of chapters here of Mark, we have already seen a number of accounts in Mark's Gospel record of Christ as he begins teaching and preaching, how he draws great multitudes of people, some of whom are, well, they're eager to hear what he has to say. And many who've simply come, well, because they've heard how Jesus also heals all kinds of illness and diseases and even delivers from demonic possession and oppression. So it was, even as we began chapter 4 here just a few weeks ago, as it reads in verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter again, but just by way of remembering an introduction, if you would remember, at this point, Jesus had already named and ordained the 12 chosen apostles, whom he would teach especially, and then ultimately send forth to also go preach and teach and to heal. Now, these 12 were present in this account, as we see down here in, look down to verse number 10 and 11. The Bible here says, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." And as we saw in our last study 3 weeks ago, that Jesus did in fact teach the disciples alone, the apostles, the meaning of the parable and how it applied to the spiritual life that we saw, and we looked through that parable of the sower here in the first part of Mark chapter number 4. Now, our text today begins in verse number 21. Now, I believe, based on the context of the text that we'll see here in just a moment, that Jesus is, once again, addressing the multitude. Now, he had addressed the multitude in those first several verses. He gave them the parable of the sower. And then, of course, in verse number 11, he said unto his apostles and those that were about him, he turned to them directly and gave them the understanding of that parable of the sower through verse number 20. And now here I believe that he returns to addressing the multitude, but of course it still includes all of these apostles, just as by God's intentional preservation, well, it includes you and me today too. Amen. Praise the Lord, eh? That's good stuff, right? God didn't exclude us just because we weren't there. He preserved it for us as well. So read along with me in your Bibles. We're going to look at Mark chapter 4, just a few verses here today, 21 through 25. And let's see what the Bible says. The Bible here says, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, initially I had intended on reading down through about verse 34, and we certainly weren't going to cover all of that ground today. But I think in these first five verses of our text here today, there's some things that we need to really be able to pull out of there to understand and to embrace as Christians, and as what our expected response to God should be for so great a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, through the faith in His death and burial, and of course resurrection. Now, to understand, I believe verse 21, we must have as our basis several key facts upon which we will build understanding. And so as we get into that, let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message today, I'd ask that, Lord God, you would grant us the understanding that we need. Father, your word is so very precious, and it is so simple, and yet it is so complex. As you've recorded and preserved that messages were given in parables, and then with the admonishment, and if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Father, help us to hear today. God, help us to hear your word and to hear your spirit. Lord, open our hearts. Father, keep the distractions at bay. Lord, that we might be open to being changed and to being improved and to being made more Christ-like today. Guide us as we go today. O thou great Jehovah, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we need to understand a few things first, I believe, as our basis for understanding verse 21. Verse 21 again says, "He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Well, that seems like a pretty simple, straightforward question, but let's understand a few things about the application of this. John chapter 8 and verse 12. In the first part of the verse it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that having accepted Christ as our Savior, Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And then as we continue again in the second part, as I mentioned, John chapter 8 and verse 12, the second part of that verse reads, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And because we now have, if we put those verses together, we now have the light of the world living in us. Not only do we have the light of life, Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, all of those things are our basis to begin to understand, I believe, verse number 21. This first verse of our text tells us that as a child of God, a disciple, if you will, a follower of Jesus Christ, we have, based on this parable, a logical and practical responsibility to shine, to be displayed. We have a responsibility to share the light of Christ with others. That's what verse 21 says. It says, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" It's a question that leads us to the conclusion that as we have the light of the world in us, and that we are the light of the world, we are not to be hidden by any means. We are to be on display. We are to be seen. Think back for just a moment, if you would, to that time when you realized that you needed Christ as your Savior. Think back to that time when you accepted Christ. Now, with that in mind, think about where you might be right now had that person from whom you heard the message of Christ decided not to share the light with you, but rather wrap it up and keep it to themselves. Where would we be had they hidden the light of Christ? That's kind of a sobering, kind of a disturbing thought, really, that you might not have had the opportunity to know Christ if that Christian had said, "This is just for me and I'm going to wrap it up and keep it to myself." Now, if sometimes when you and I make that choice, "Oh, this is just not a good time. I'm just not in a good mood. I don't look good. I can't go talk to that person." If you and I, friends, make that choice that we don't share Christ, we are essentially putting our candle, our light, under a bushel or under a bed. That's not what God intended. It's not the way He designed it. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven," Matthew 5:16. So our text asks the pointed question, is not our candle to be put on a candlestick? Yeah, it is. God's answer? Yeah, it is. So that's the first part of this portion of our text today. Secondly, let me ask you this. It's a dissertation on candles today. Secondly, how much light, or how much can you see? How much can you see when it is completely dark? Ever been in a room or gone into the closet or gone into the basement? There's not a single light on anywhere. Going out in the middle of the night, there's not a star shining in the sky. There's not a moon shining in the sky. There's not nothing. There's no light. There's nothing anywhere. How much can you see when it's completely dark?
Nothing.
Thank you. Ding, ding, ding. Right answer. All right. In that kind of a situation, how do you know what is right in front of you? Or, well, maybe there's some that I know exactly where everything is in my living room, and when the light is off and I go out in the middle of the night with my eyes closed, I can walk right through my living room and not stub my toe ever once. Well, that's great until somebody moves something. Or the dog goes out there and pops out right in front of you and says, "I'm snoring." Then what happens? Well, you don't know. You don't know. How do you know what's right in front of you? How do you know? How do you know how close it is if you can't see it? But when there is even a small amount of light present, it becomes so much easier to see. It becomes so much harder to stay hidden. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Light came into the world, but it's so much harder to stay hidden all of a sudden. We have to be the light so that people can see what's right in front of them. Notice one more thing about this verse, if you would, before we move on. Our light is referenced here as a candle. So you've had candles at home. You've seen candles here. We have a candlelight service every year. How focused is the light that is given off by a single candle? How focused is that light? It's not focused at all. It's just a general illumination of the area. The farther you get away from it, the dimmer the light might seem to be. But it's not focused on any one particular thing. It's simply there so that others may see it and generally see things with it. Now, with that in mind, what did Matthew 5:16 say was the purpose of letting our light so shine before men? That they may see your good works. The verse does not say so that your light can point out anyone else's works, be they good or bad, nor so that we can compare anyone else to ourselves or to each other. You see, we are not to be, I have one at home in my one coat, we're not to be one of these little mag lights that when you turn it on, it's a nice general light, but you can turn that lens and you can focus that beam right in, and boy, you could just a spotlight right there. God didn't say that we are to be the spotlight for anyone else's life. We have no right to point out others' failures. We have every responsibility to be the light of Christ, not God's light to persecute others, not God's beam to hinder others' progress. We are simply to be a light shining before men so that they can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are simply to obey God's message and His commandments and His principles in a way that points only to God. For those that were here Wednesday night or perhaps listened Wednesday night, I brought out this verse in Psalms chapter 71, verse 16. This ought to be our driving force. Psalm 71:16 says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. You see, our light is not to shine to show everybody, man, look at this brand new suit I've got. It's not a new suit, by the way. Look at this brand new suit, spiffy tie I've got, and boy, how good of a Christian am I. You need to step up. That's not what our light is for. I don't know that God would say that that was a good work of mine either. Pride goeth before the destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. But we're simply to be a reflection of the love of Jesus Christ so that others can see Christ in us. We must simply shine as a light in the darkness, focusing only on our own service to Christ. But then look at what happens because of Christ's light shining through us. Take a look back in our text, if you would. Verse number 22 says, when the light of Christ shines, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. What he's talking about here is that the light of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, is going to manifest what each and every one of us does. This is the reason we must be so diligent about our testimony and about the light that others see in us. Verse 22 references the truth that we also find in Romans chapter 14, where we read in verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We shall give account of ourselves. That's not just us. That's every one living on this earth. Everyone will give account of himself. Not only will we give account for how we shine, but we'll also give an account for those times that we choose not to share the light when God brings the opportunity along. Friends, how tragic will it be if we were the one source of spiritual light and life for someone that God brings across our path and we don't do it? Will we be that word that is a lamp unto the feet and a light unto the path for someone who is seeking? What happens if that person's account of themselves contains the lost opportunity with our name on it that we were supposed to show them? They're not going to blame us. It's not about blaming one or another, but it's about the lost opportunity that we were there to fill, and if we don't do it, the account is going to be reconciled. The Bible says nothing will be hidden. All will be manifested, and it will come abroad. the Bible tells us here in verse 22. So then lastly today, we have to continue. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I was going to read down through verses 34 or something, but we'll continue that another day. But in the last part of our text here today, look again with me at verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." First, God is giving us here a very practical warning. Take heed. Those are those first two words. Take heed, Jesus says. What does that mean? It means consider very carefully and consider diligently those things that Jesus is teaching us. Pay attention when the man of God stands in the pulpit and reads the Word of God. Pay attention to what Jesus says that applies to my life and to our lives. If there is something taught or preached that doesn't quite make complete sense to us, then friends, don't dismiss it. Don't just say, "Oh, I must have missed what he said. Yeah, well, he'll preach again next week." Don't. Because the Bible says, take heed, consider diligently what was said. If there's something that just doesn't quite make sense, God says that we are to study. We are to search the Scriptures. We are to gain that understanding. Because then we are less apt to follow after something we don't understand or something we haven't gotten assured faith about. If we don't understand it, probably not going to follow after it. If we don't understand why the Bible says pray without ceasing, probably not going to pray without ceasing. If the Bible doesn't make sense when it says that not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, what does that mean? That means be in church. If it doesn't make sense to us, we're probably not going to be in church every time the church is open. We can go out throughout the Scriptures that way. But if we'll search the Scriptures, if we'll ask the Holy Spirit of God to give us the understanding that we need to understand the Scriptures, then we'll be much less apt to fail. So Jesus says here, consider diligently, take heed to what he says, because your relationship with God depends on it. Wait, what? Understand what I said. Your relationship, not your salvation. Your relationship, how well you interact with God and how apt God is to answer prayers and interact back with you depends on how well we take heed to what he says. It says, the Bible here says, with what measure ye meet. In other words, how much effort you put into something, the Bible says it will be measured to you. And all that means here, friends, is that we can understand it to say that however much we give of our hearts and minds and belief to God is the way God will reciprocate and interact with us. If we can't be bothered to pray every day, how can we be bothered when we pray that one time and God doesn't answer? Why didn't you answer me, God? Who are you? Oh, I haven't heard from you in 27 years. I'm not going to take 27 seconds to answer you. I don't know that God works particularly in those terms, but the Bible tells us that with whatsoever measure ye meet, it will be measured to you. If we only make ourselves available to God through prayer and Bible reading and worship for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours in a week, then we can't expect God to jump for us when we suddenly have a need that we can't fix ourselves. Because isn't that what we're doing when we say, God, I got this, don't worry about it? Oh, God, I can't fix this one. You got to help me out. Well, I wanted to help you the last time, too, and it would have been better. You wouldn't have gotten into the situation in the first place. But no, you wanted to do it, so you have at it. Go ahead. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 25 says, "With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright." Verse 26 says, "And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." God will give us as much attention as we give Him, I do believe. Secondly, in this portion of the Scripture, Jesus is referencing the principle behind the parable of the talents. In verse 25, He says, "For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." It is it is to the hearer that we are to use what we hear to live a more and more godly life. You see, it's our challenge. Take heed to what you hear. Consider diligently. Act upon what you hear and live a more godly life. And then share what we learn of God with others in very usable and very real ways. See, God wants to use us to relate to the one that doesn't understand God. Well, who knows the spirit of man but man, the Bible says. We are to be that example, the real world example. Hey, you know what? I have been there, but let me tell you how God worked through this with me. God can help you, but you gotta know God. We could be that kind of a witness. Allow God to use us according to His purposes, the Bible says, exercising the talents and the abilities and the growing knowledge that we have and that we gain of Him to shine brighter and to do more. What did Matthew 5:16 say? Good works. Not for salvation. Not because we do a good work, God's going to bless us. But because we love God and we worship God and we want to serve God and we want God to use us for His glory. Oh, and by the way, God does promise us that He will bless as well when we are that way. But if we don't do anything to glorify God with what He gives us, then we can be assured that even what He has given us at one point will be taken away. That's what the Bible says. You see, we have a challenge. We have a charge here to be a responsible disciple of our Savior and our God. Go in the strength of the Lord God and make mention of His and only His righteousness. Amen. Pastor, would you close the service?
Well, the charge is be a light out there. Amen. Let's be dismissed. Father, we just thank You for this time that we can be together, gathered around Your Word. We thank You for the challenge and the reminder that, Lord, we are the light of the world. Because of You, aside from You, we have no light. But, Lord, because You live within us, You are that light that You want to shine before all men. And, Lord, when they look upon us and they see something very desirable, Lord, maybe it's an attitude, an action, or a reaction that caught their attention. And Lord, it would be so unlike the world, so unlike those who walk in darkness, but they saw the light. They inquired, and that we may have the ability to lead them to a saving knowledge in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we go forth today and to be about Your work. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.